Welcome to Safilo's conference call on second quarter and first half results 2008. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary, even significantly, to those announced in relation to the multitude of factors. The conference will be held by Mr. Massimiliano Tabacchi, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Francesco Tagliapietra, Director of Administration and Control, and Mrs. Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimiliano Tabacchi, Vice Chairman, CEO of Safilo. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Safilo First Half Results Conference Call. This is the first opportunity I've had to talk to you since my appointment to CEO, taking over from Claudio Gottardi, who remains within the group as President and CEO of Safilo USA and the head of the retail project worldwide. Together, we have been working hard over the past 2 years to shape important changes to our business model and implement the strategic guidelines that we have most recently communicated to you in February. This includes greater involvement in retail, internationalization of industrial operations, and a revised approach to product development. I am extremely committed and determined to deploy all my personal resources to drive the company towards growth and operational excellence. I believe that the business fundamentals continue to remain in place to capture the many opportunities ahead and create value for all our stakeholders. Today, I will go through the key aspects of the first half results, and I will then ask Francesco Tagliapietra to provide you with a comprehensive operating and financial review of the second quarter and the first half results. Finally, I will comment on the outlook of 2008 and provide you with an update on the key strategic action that we are implementing to achieve our long-term objective. Turning now to the current trading, the first half result closed short of our forecasts as the second quarter did not confirm the trend we were expecting. Europe was weak, with Spain and the UK as the countries most severely hit by the slowdown of the market, and Germany experienced the lower assortment of the October 2007 and the January 2008 collections. Satisfactory performance in Italy, up mid-single-digit in volume and flat in value, which is mainly thanks to our house brand Carrera as a consequence of the product development and marketing efforts dedicated to the brand. The Americas held better than expected in the wholesale business thanks to the good resilience of the prescription business and higher penetration of some of our most popular brands, especially within the distribution channel of the independents. In the U.S. as in Europe, we continue to see our consumer looking more for entry price points within our top brand collections. In retail, the second quarter was saw the opening of 10 salty stores in the U.S., reaching a total of 137 shops at the end of June. Comp sales remain negative mid-single digit, primarily due to a negative price mix effect. This was particularly counterbalanced by the introduction of our new luxury brands, Balenciaga and Jimmy Choo. On the acquisition front, we are very satisfied with the excellent performance of the newly acquired retail chain in Mexico, Sunglass Island, and in Australia, The Spectacles. Satisfactory results in Asia, with growth spread across many countries in the region, and above all in China with Hong Kong and Korea. The start of retail operation in the region is also a notable event. I will now to Francesco for further remarks on the results before an update on the 2008 outlook and my final remarks.
Thank you, Massimiliano, and good evening, everyone. I will merely refer my comments and analysis to the second quarter results. I move directly to slide number 3. and to the main drivers of the top line. We registered in the last quarter total net sales of €311 million, with a decline at current currency of 4.7%. The impact of the dollar devaluation was even stronger in the second quarter, dragging down results by 6.5%. At constant currency, net sales increased by 1.8%, thanks to the consolidation of the two new retail stores in Australia and Mexico, and which contributed for 2.7% of the total increase. The organic performance, which considered the result of the wholesale business as well as Saltis and Loop Vision stores in U.S. and Spain, was slightly down by around 1%, improving, however, on the minus 2% registered in the first quarter. We look at the next two slides to discuss the drivers by channel. In the wholesale business, slide number 4, the organic constant currency performance was negative by 1.7%. Comparison with the same period last year was still demanding on the second quarter of 2008, but to a less extent compared with the previous quarter. The main area of weakness was represented by Europe. As already highlighted, Spain, UK and Germany were in the quarter the weakest countries, all down around 20%, while we registered an improving performance in Italy thanks to the positive results we are achieving with our house brand Carrera. America and Asia, at constant currency, were in line with our expectations, registering respectively a mid-single digit and a double-digit growth in the second quarter. In America, we kept seeing the substantial resilience of the market, still thanks to the satisfactory performance of prescription frames, as well as a slightly less affected sunglass business. As a matter of fact, we increased volume sold in the market, with a higher sales in the medium to high-end segment of our product ranges. As said, our experience in the U.S. as well as in Europe is still for the consumer looking for our top brand collections in their most affordable price points. Asia gained speed in the second quarter also thanks to the recovered deliveries from previous quarter in some markets of the region. The six-month result is more indicative of our actual performance in the market, where Japan is still negative while China and South Korea remain the best performers, however registering lower growth rates as compared to last year. It is worth noting that in Asia, while volumes continue to increase, average selling prices remain very steadily up. The gap in the rest of the world remained pretty much unchanged as compared to the first quarter, and this was due to the later-than-expected start of the new distribution agreement in one country of the region. All in all, the wholesale business improved in the second quarter its currency-neutral organic performance as compared to the minus 2.5% registered in the first quarter. Still, the expected progression was held back by the negative price mix effect. Analyzing the retail business, slide number 5, it grew in the second quarter by 54% at constant currency, increasing its weight on total sales from 6% in second quarter of 2007 to 9% this year. We closed the first half with a total network of 283 stores against 163 at the end of June 2007. The greatest contribution came from the 77 new stores in Mexico and Australia, although to less extent than seen in the first quarter, as the month of April did not benefit as last year from the Eastern season. Performance in the U.S. was positively impacted by the new Saucy stores opened during the period, while, as I already highlighted, the comp sales remained negative mid-single digits at 5% also in the second quarter. As we had previously commented, April was a better month compared to the results achieved in the first quarter, but May and June turned out again very volatile. In Spain, Loop Vision was affected by the very difficult market environment of the country, although to a less extent. All considered, in the second quarter, total retail comp sales were negative low single digits at 3%. Moving now to slide 6, to the drivers which explain the gross margin, we look at the different impacts, analyzing how they moved also compared to the first quarter. On the back of lower orders intakes during the month of May and June, we have decided to further adjust the production output, giving space to the higher incidence of fixed costs. The impact of 110 basis points was more negative than what was registered during the first quarter of the year. Moving along our analysis on the 3 months to June, Forex and country mix had, as expected, the negative impact as compared to what was registered in March. We recover, in fact, the natural edge coming from the usual balance of cost and sales in dollars that we were missing in the first quarter. Also, the impact from the quicker exit of slower moving items starts to be less meaningful in this quarter after a heavier job done during fourth quarter 2007 and first quarter this year. On the other hand, top priorities on the new product development achieved first margin improvement, as well as the greater incidence on the higher gross margin retail business contributed for a positive channel mix impact. As done in the first quarter, we made our analysis adjusting previous year quarter by the negative effect of product returns and the no margin sales. The absence of these one-off effects are of course helping us in the comparison with last year. Moving to EBITDA, slide number 7, we registered a contraction of 50 basis points, taking the gross operating margin of the quarter to 12.4% from 12.9% of last year's second quarter. On top of what we have already said on the gross margin level, we had a lower operating leverage in retail as seen in the first quarter, coming from new stores openings and negative comp sales, while in the wholesale we achieved an improvement. Looking at the profitability by channel, following slide number 9, the wholesale margin declined by 30 basis points to 13% in the second quarter 2008 as a result of the gross profit effect described before. As said, it is worth mentioning the lower incidence of G&A as we cut costs, especially in the corporate area. Retail profitability was in the quarter good at 6.1% of sales, despite the cost of the new Chinese organization that will permit us to open stores in the region in the second half of the year. Now, moving to slide 9, we closed the second quarter with a net profit of 7.9 million euro, 2.5% of consolidated revenues. The net margin contracted by 130 basis points compared to the second quarter 2007 due to the higher incidence of net financial expenses as well as to lower net exchange gains. Interest expenses on loans increased their weight on sales as a consequence of increasing average total debt and interest rate. Tax rate increased on the quarter to 45% from roughly 40% last year. This is the result of the higher incidence of the fixed IRAP tax on a thinner profit. We turn now to some highlights on the balance sheet. Skipping slide 10 and going straight to slide 11, we look at the net working capital in the first half of 2008. Decline of trade receivables is related to the net sales trend and to the growing incidence of retail business. Containment of inventories is instead consistent with the decision to maintain leaner levels of production in stock. Turning to slide 12, free cash flow was characterized by an improved cash management of operating activities thanks to the release of resources from working capital. Cash flow from operating activities increased to 55 million euro in first half of 2008 versus 33 million euro last year. In the period, total investments reached 57 million euro. The increase over last year, 23 million euro, is explained by the 27 million for the acquisition of Sunglass Island in Mexico and Just Spectacles in Australia. The actual capex in the first half is around 30 million euro, of which 7 million euro relates to the construction of the new production plant in China. Retail and maintenance capex remain pretty much stable on last year levels. The net financial position at the end of June 2008 was 541 million euro, higher compared to the position at the end of the same period last year for the acquisitions undertaken and the dividends paid in May this year. In spite of that, indebtedness declined compared to the position registered in the first quarter. Now, I leave back the word to Massimiliano Tabacchi for final remarks.
Thank you, Francesco. As seen, the first half has been a challenging period, and looking at the second half of 2008, I would like to highlight some important aspects. Positive signs from July figures with regard to our retail business in the US, as Solstice achieved its first positive comp sales of the year. Positive mid-single-digit growth in the US wholesale business at constant currency. Persisting weakness in Europe, where we do not see any meaningful recovery for the second half of the year, especially in Spain and the UK. In absence of any significant rebound in the economy in the coming months, given the first half result and our expectation for the second half of the year, we have revised guidance for the full year 2008. Total net sales are now expected to grow at constant currency by around 4% on the back of the lower expectation for the European market. Second half EBITDA margin is expected around 14% in line with the second half of 2007, calling for a full year EBITDA margin projected at 13.5% to 14%. Net income for the year should move between 3 and 3.5%. Overall, I regard the first half result and the necessity to revisit the full year guidance as extremely disappointing, because I believe our company has the potential to perform far better than we're currently doing and be a credible long-term performer in this industry. In fact, we are committed to important projects aimed at bringing about greater cost reduction and operational benefits. Top priorities on product development are expected to show more evident results starting from the second part of the year, as the October collections benefit from the new revised development and industrialization processes. On the retail front, we are concentrating our efforts on the market where we expect to achieve more significant and faster returns on our investment. This is the reason why we have decided to postpone openings and refurbishments in Spain, where the market conditions are tougher, and to shift resources to more reactive regions such as Asia and Australia. Moderate production output will remain, on the other hand, a priority for the year in order to maintain low levels of obsolescence and provide higher opportunities for generating positive cash flows in working capital. We have been strengthening our planning activities with new professionals and implementation of shelf management projects at the wholesale level. This action will allow us to react faster to rapidly changing market conditions. For the second half of the year, we expect that the positive factors will more or less counterbalance the negative effects still coming from the Forex and country mix and moderate production output. I am extremely committed to making sure that the whole organization is focused on the execution of the strategic projects that we have presented to you last February. As far as the new retail concept is concerned, we will open the first shop in Marbella in Spain in August under the new name of Hedonist. Commitment to retail expansion in high growth area is supported by the planned openings of 6 to 7 new Hedonist stores in China, as well as the openings of 2 stores in Hong Kong, which took place during the second quarter. Strengthening of the wholesale operation and development of our presences under-penetrated markets is for us another key priority. We have set up a new subsidiary in Mexico to seek further expansion in the country and more in general in Latin America. Going forward, we are planning to open in the Middle East and in Russia. Set up the production plant in China is on track. In April, we start the training activities on Safilo high quality standards at the rented site in Suzhou. By the end of the year, we will be ready as planned to ship the first semi-finished products to Italy. We expect to move activities into our own 60,000 square meter plant in Suzhou during the next Chinese New Year's Eve. At present, there are 60 people working at Safilo Eyewear Industries Suzhou, a number which is expected to increase to about 300 by the end of the year. On the commercial side, to conclude, we are replicating the product development and marketing action undertaken on the Carrera brand to capitalize on the expertise gained to further develop our portfolio of brands. Thank you for your attention, and we are now ready to take your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you change your mind and wish to remove yourself from the question queue, then you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Mr. Luca Cipiccia of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. I'll start with a question on your guidance, if I may, just to get an understanding on how credible or how doable these targets really are. And by that I mean that certainly the environment has got more difficult in the last few months, but arguably it wasn't not that long ago that you came to the market with relatively new targets. More broadly, if I think back about the last couple of years, I think we've seen management changes, we've seen cutting guidance in between, though very often increasing guidances. And I'm just trying to understand what really is going on, and also how should we relate to this when it comes to your medium-term targets that also were related to the business plan that you disclose in February. So that would be my first question. The second question relates to your debt. Whether there's any update? Understand it's callable from was callable from May. How do you position yourself in relation to that plan? Has anything changed? Is it anything to be expected? Maybe if we could start with that, it would be great. Thank you.
Okay, Luca. As far as the guidance is concerned, what has changed since last call that we had on the first quarter results is that specifically only for Europe, the level of reorders that we have received in the month of May and June has been much lower than expected. And the level of reorders is a signal of how the final consumer is approaching the trend of the local economies. So what we are forecasting for the rest of the year is the continuation of the good trend in Asia and America, because the feedback that we have not only from our customers but also from then the consumer is good on our products and our brands. We have some more concerns in Europe because the concern is specific for those countries that have not performed in the second quarter, could continue also in the second half of the year. So the base of the lower guidance is mainly focused on the European countries. For Italy specifically, that likely you remember on the first quarter, we are seeing a very good performance of Carrera brand that is in some way compensating the situation that we had in the first quarter. As far as the guidance in terms of profitability, as I have explained during the introduction of this call, the most important reason of not having improved compared to last year was due to the under-recover on the production cost for lower level of production for reducing the level of inventory in the first half of the year. We expect in the second part of the year not to recover what we have lost during the first half, but the expectation in terms of volumes are closer to what to the volumes that we had last year second half. So all taking everything in consideration and taking consideration also as a smaller but still existing effect on effects on our profitability, what we are forecasting is to keep and maintain the profitability of the second half of 2008 in line with the profitability of last year, also considering that there are already some first signs of results coming from the so-called priorities that we have shown to you, to the market, at the beginning of this year.
Right, and can I just get an understanding of what is the degree of the question also relates to the operational leverage, i.e. Europe has got worse, profitability outlook has got worse. If I go back again to sort of the medium-term targets that you gave in February, and we assume a similar or persistent weakness in Europe, how should we think about, you know, the realistic opportunity for you to improve the EBITDA margin at all?
Looking forward, we are still convinced that the opportunities of improving margin that we have shown to the market in February are confirmed because are not linked to a huge growth of sales in Europe and other markets. So the activities that were on the base of the guidance in the medium term were mainly activities on production in terms of movement of part of the production actually made in Italy in the Chinese factory, and that is confirmed and we don't have any delay in this project. The other activities were focused on the product, on the standardization of the product. You remember the so-called top priorities, and we are on track on that. And next collection coming from October, we'll see the first result of these activities. But these are, I remember you that these are related to the non-stylistic components of the product. But again, mainly for October, activities made on this collection will have an effect on the result of first quarter 2009. And as far as retail is concerned, we are confirming that this strategy, what we are doing is to refocus on the countries in which are more performing considering the local economies. So we are moving some investments from Spain to other countries as could be Mexico or Australia that are showing a better performance. As far as the second part of your question is that, the things have not changed compared last call. I mean, we are always looking to opportunities for reimbursing in advance the high-yield bond. I don't foresee that in the short term we could find an alternative that could permit us both in terms of cost and size to be in line with our expectations. So at the end, nothing has changed.
Okay. Can I just a third follow-up, just to understand again the volatility or the fragility of the top line looking forward? Can you remind us what is the to what degree you have visibility, and you know, to what extent in terms of wholesale orders and deliveries? How much do you do in terms of replenishment every quarter, reorders from retailers? Can you give us, you know, as it stands now, what is the type of visibility you have on orders for the second half on top line?
Well, in terms of visibility in the future, you know that it depends a lot from in which month you are. I mean, at the start of the launch of a collection, you have one or a couple of months visibility of the sales because you have the first order from the customers. Then in the following month, for example, in the second quarter, following means May and June, most part of the orders are coming from the reorders that are based on the sell-out of our customers. So if you actually, we wait the launch of the August collection for having some visibility in terms of third quarter, fourth quarter results. You know also that the most important collection in the second half of the year is October collections, and only at the end of October, beginning of November, we have a first feedback, and now it is the market trend.
Okay, but one very last, sorry, I don't want to ask too many, but on the comment that was made about the like-for-like in the U.S., was that for July, is that correct? And can you give us an idea of what were the comps like compared to, I would assume, the negative trend that you had in the second quarter overall? Was there a sort of a big shift in comps, you know, moving into July that allowed you to start growing positively again? Can you maybe give a bit more color on that?
It's not a big shift. In terms of comp sales, July specifically for store sorties in the U.S. has been positive, but positive in the range of low single digit.
Okay. And how much was the quarter? Sorry, maybe it is somewhere in the press release, but I haven't seen it.
The quarter is less 5%.
Okay.
In the second quarter for sorties.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Dan Worth of Trafalgar. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. A couple of numbers first, please. I wanted to know the amount of cash on the balance sheet, the amount of dividends you paid, and the amount of headroom you have in terms of liquidity on your facilities.
Well, as far as liquidity issues, we don't have any problem of liquidity. We have a larger amount of cash available with a revolving line inside the senior loan. So there is no issue in the short or medium terms about liquidity. In terms of amount of dividend paid, has been €25 million paid during the month of May.
Can you quantify the cash you have on your balance sheet and quantify the additional headroom you have on the revolver and any local bank lines you have? In other words, the number.
Well, the total, in terms of line, the total lines, the revolving plus uncommitted lines that we have are around €300 million. Of which €200 million are a revolving line in the senior loan, so already committed. The rest are uncommitted line that we are using with local banks on a daily basis.
But of that €200 million of revolver, how much of that is drawn?
Around half of this amount.
Okay.
So there are still available €100 million.
And you still have around €40-50 million of cash on the balance sheet, same as the first quarter?
Yes, you should look into the balance sheet, but this is the number that is shown in the balance sheet.
Okay, and you mentioned obviously you wouldn't repurchase the bonds or call the bonds, but would you consider buying back the bonds given your bonds now trade at LIBOR plus 1,000 and you can draw down on your revolver at LIBOR plus 60? So it makes compelling sense for you to improve your EPS and improve your debt situation that way.
No, we are not taking in consideration this opportunity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
The next question is from Antoine Benje of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. It's Antoine Benje at HSBC. Three questions. First of all, you made comments about how disappointed you were by the results in the first half. So I understand you explained the situation in Europe, but what's your view on the current management team? I'm not necessarily talking about the top management, but maybe managing the people who are managing the respective brands in your portfolio. Do you think that there are areas where management could have done better? So what I'm trying to see is what can be attributed to the overall environment and what can be attributed to maybe the management of your company in the first half. Second question, which is also maybe in a way linked, you're currently renegotiating two very important license, Gucci and Dior. How are these brand owners reacting to your figures? And perhaps can you update us on Gucci? I think you were expecting to announce something in the summer. That's my questions.
Thank you. I answer to you the first question about management. I am pretty sure that the management team we have is skilled and is in the correct place in the company. First of all, of course, we are doing assessments in the management team, and if there are any opportunities to increase our performance with changing some management or improving with new skilled person, I will be very interesting in doing it, and I am already analyzing that part. The second question about Gucci, we are my Safilo team and Gucci team are working together for the renewal. As you know, is an anticipation. We have 2 years and anticipate this renewal. Is a very important renewal for us, and we expect to have this renewal in the as soon as possible. As well as in the Gucci renewal, we are working in the same way to find the best solution for both the companies.
Okay, so from your answer, should I conclude that you think that the performance of the first half is primarily related to the worsening of the environment in Europe, and that you haven't highlighted any areas where you think that things could be improved internally?
Yes, of course there is always things that we could do better. I told you before about all the projects that are in the table. One of the most important is the process development and the revised approach of product development and engineering. And of course, the situation, the difficult situation of the European economy, impact to us in the first quarter.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Euro Immobiliare. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have a few questions. The first is related on your top-line guidance. You are projecting 4-5% increase in top-line currency neutral after a 1.3% increase in the first half. It means 8-9% in the second half, if I'm correct. So I would like to have any indication, say, from July or from the order backlog at the end of July to support your expectation and such a rebound. And the second question is related to the net working capital. After a good control in net working capital in the second quarter, I would like to have your flavor, your feeling on the trend for the next month. And my last question is related to the existence of financial covenants that could be breached after the revision of the guidance. So if there are any covenants based on the EBITDA that could be breached after the revision of the EBITDA guidance.
Okay, starting from the guidance on revenues. First of all, the guidance that we are giving at constant currency is a plus 4% in the year. That means that there is around 7.5% for in the second half of the year. The reason why we are forecasting this improvement of this second half compared to the first half, that is not so huge as improving, that comes also from the fact that last year second half has been weaker than first half. You remember that the 2007 first half has been extremely good, particularly in Europe. So in some way there is an easier comparison compared to the first half of the year.
Yeah, sorry, I remember a very, very weak third quarter, so I would expect that the third quarter comparison would be, let's say, particularly positive, so that's why I was trying to get some feeling on the current trading environment.
Yeah, in our forecast for Europe, the second half of the year, we are still expecting a slightly negative trend in terms of sales, better than first half of the year, but still negative. Based also on the feedback that we have from customers that are not ordered, because during this period we don't have so many orders, because as I was saying before, the launch of new collection is in the second half of August. But the feedback that we have from our sales force is giving us some comfort on making better in Europe compared to what we have done in the first half of the year. Anyway, we are not forecasting any huge improvement compared to first half. As far as your second question was related to working capital, working capital for us is a priority. Is the priority, and this is the reason why in some way we have indirectly penalized the first half result in terms of profitability for keeping under control the working capital and reducing substantially the inventory. I don't expect that we can make a similar work on the inventory also in the second half with another huge reduction, but for sure we want to keep working capital as we have achieved in the first half. This for inventory. As general trend in receivables and payables, again, I don't see so much room to reduce outstanding days payment from customers, because especially in a difficult market, making pressure also on reducing days is practically impossible.
No, my concern was that they were asking you for, let's say, higher.
To be honest, in the first half of the year, we haven't seen so much pressure on that. It's always that some requests have been received, but we have been able to manage these requests without effect on the total level of receivables, as you can see from the results that we have achieved on the first half of the year. As far as payables, again, I don't see changes, and we are not making additional pressure to our suppliers that must be committed in delivering in time with the right quality of the product. As far as for covenants, we are, again, the numbers that we are forecasting, that we are giving guidance on the market, will permit us to reach and to, the target to maintain a level of ratio below the covenant. I only for a reminder to you that the covenant I presume you are speaking is the ratio between EBITDA and total debt.
Yeah.
The covenant is set at 3.5 times. And based on the forecast that we have both in terms of total value of EBITDA and net financial position at the year end, we don't see risks of breaching this covenant.
Last question is on the tax rate, sorry. What is the expected tax rate for the full year based on your guidance?
Well, as far as tax rate, that is unfortunately strongly linked to the profitability of the Italian company. You know that in Italy there is this IRAP tax that is not linked to the really to the income before taxes. The guidance at the beginning was 36-38%. I expect that could be something on the top of this range because the market that is suffering more in this moment is the European market, and the European market is the market is providing more earnings to the Safir SPA. So indirectly, Safir SPA is the company that is suffering more on the income pre-tax, and for that thing, the IRAP has a never weighting percentage compared to expectation.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Rachel Golder of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, thank you. A couple of quick clarifications. I didn't quite hear the 3.5 times covenant. Is that at the senior secured level in the bank facility?
Yes, I confirm you.
Okay, and where leverage is currently about 2.5 times. Okay, and does that 3.5 times step down in the course of 2009?
Sorry, could you... The covenant is set at 3.5 times EBITDA for the full period.
For the full period, it doesn't step down. All right, could you explain to me again, please, what the driver was for the Germany weakness? I didn't understand that.
Well, specifically for Germany, that is the countries in Europe that has slowed down more in the second quarter compared to the first quarter, we had a level of reorders coming from the market. Again, are the orders based on the sell-out of the opticians to their customers, that has been substantially lower than last year. And when I say substantially, it means that it has been more than 20% weaker compared to last year. So on top of that, also in Germany, we have seen a preference of the final consumer for a product inside each collection on the lower price point. This is a general trend that we are seeing in Europe, and it's shown very evident also in Germany, that is a sign that likely the consumer are preferring inside each collection, because it's not an issue of moving from luxury brands to other brands. Is a movement that we have seen inside each brand. European consumers are trying to move from styles on the highest part of the collection more toward the medium part.
Thank you. Could you talk specifically about the sports goggles? Those seem to have come off pretty sharply. Is there any specific driver there?
You mean spare goggles?
Yes.
Well, the sport, in terms of analyzing the sport business, it's better to look at it on the yearly basis, because it's so, especially in the first half of the year, also in the third one, but first half of the year is so linked to the weather conditions that sometimes some good or weak performance of sport is not because the market is reacting well or worse to the trend. Typically, in the first half of the year, the sales in the sport business, I mean goggles and helmets, that are mainly ski goggles and ski helmets, are reorders from our customers, and the reorders are mainly based on the weather conditions. So the semester of the year in which you can see, we see the trend of the sport business is mainly the second half.
Okay, thank you. On the license renewals, so not a lot of color on a time frame to expect an announcement on the Gucci license. I know that under the Gucci umbrella, there are a handful of smaller licenses that have expirations in January of 2009. Would we expect to not hear anything specific on those smaller licenses until you have an announcement on the broader Gucci relationship, or is there any update on renewing the smaller licenses that you can give us?
Yes, as you said, we have taken the decision to conclude all currently pending transactions before giving any further information. This is our decision.
Okay. Thank you. And just on the China manufacturing and the relocating out of Italy, could you just give a little bit more of the status update of when that factory is going to be operating at full capacity and what you expect the financial impact of that to be?
Okay, now in China we have a rented factory that is there to starting producing our high standard quality product, our standard quality semi-finished product. We expect to finish building the factory at the end of the Chinese New Year, where we expect to transfer from the rented to the big one to be our own factory at the beginning of after the Chinese New Year's Eve, and we expect to be in full capacity in 2012.
All right. That's great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Olivier Mounier of Fortis Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. My first question is on the covenant that you disclosed, the 3.5 time level. That's on the net debt to EBITDA, I presume. Can you comment on, your relationship with your banks? Because it seems to me that the level at the end of the year will be somewhere between 3 and 3.5. So, I mean, do you think your banks are, you think that the relationship you have with your banks will give you the ability to, to seek a waiver in case the situation in your market deteriorates further in the second half?
Well, as far as the relationship with the banks, we are actually far from any breach of covenant, so it's extremely good. I don't see really actually any problem in risking in breaching this covenant. But again, the relationship is so strong that even if there could be some worsening, I don't see really an issue with them.
Okay, but internally, you sure have a figure for the end of the year net debt to EBITDA. Is my assumption between 3 and 3.5, is that close to
yes.
What you guys have?
Yes, you're right. Our internal figures are in this range.
Okay. Second question, you mentioned that you are not considering buying back your bonds even when they are trading around 80 in the market. Is the reason why you don't want to do that is because you don't actually have the ability under your revolving credit facility to draw down there to buy back debt at another level? Is that the reason why?
Well, this decision come also by the fact that in the indenture of the bond, in the bond we have some limits for this buyback. So based on that, we are not working on this option.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. What do you have in the indenture of the bond? Sorry, I
missed
that.
The indenture of the bond on the contract with the bondholders, there are some specific limits in this buyback. And based on the limits, we have made some calculation and we have analyzed. And going ahead with a potential buyback is not something that is in line with our strategy.
But what are those limits, sorry? What are those limits you're talking about?
Well, the limit in the indenture is written that going above a certain limit, we should go to a tender offer of the full yield, and we don't want to make anything that could involve the full yield bond.
Okay, I get it. Okay. And my last question was, at some point you mentioned that you see your consumers looking more for entry price points in your product category. And I have a hard time reconciling that with the fact that your gross margin was flat in the second quarter. So can you make some link between, you know, what you see in the market in terms of trend of your consumer going more for the entry price point and the fact that your gross margin was stable in the second quarter? Thank you.
Well, first of all, it's not perfectly correct to say that our customers are preferring the entry price point, because it's not really the entry price. They are lowering a little bit the average price, but it's not the really entry price. As far as the profitability in terms of different styles with much or less expensive, we don't have a lower profitability in some lower prices. This because sometimes in the past we experienced worsening of profitability because of some extreme costly styles didn't permit us to recover on prices. So again, the positioning of the styles inside each collection doesn't impact on the profitability. It's correct to say that in terms of total effect on net sales, having a lower average price doesn't permit us to grow in terms of absolute value.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Pierluigi Volini of Lehman Brothers. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I was looking for, I may have missed it in the earlier part of the call, but what's the time frame over which you would expect to have more clarity on the success in renewing Gucci and Dior? Gucci does not expire until, I think, end of 2010. When would you, in case of a positive resolution to your renegotiation, when would you expect to have an announcement?
Yes, it's not a matter of clarity. We are working hard on the negotiation, and all the major points are already checked. So I think this the negotiation is still going pretty good, and I think to do we will close it as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, so it could be by the end of the third quarter.
We cannot say anything about this because the negotiation is still going. So I am just, we are working on this with the two groups. I have the interest to close it in the better way. So this is the only thing I can to say.
Okay. A trend over the last few years has been towards licensors obtaining better economics as they have been renewing. So some licenses have been renewed at better terms than the expiring licenses. Is this the trend we should expect to see at work also with your Gucci and Leo and your renewal, if successful?
Well, the discussion that we are having with these licensors are made with the objective of improving profitability of Safilo. So a license agreement is made not only by royalties or marketing commitments. There are several things that are inside the license agreement. We are working for having a benefit from this renewal. This is the reason why we expect to improve the profitability from this renewal.
And how how much of a factor in these negotiations is the presence of competitors willing to possibly take over some of these licenses at more competitive terms for the licensor?
This is not a point for us.
So you're saying that in the course of your negotiation there's been never the possibility of a competitor coming in and offering better terms?
We are working with them, of course, so we know exactly what is going on with our licenses, our license, so we don't know who is going to do other thing. I mean, we are working and we are concentrating and we are in a good point to renew the license. This is the only thing I know and I can say.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Flavio Cereda of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Most of my questions have been asked and answered, but I have three left, if I could. Firstly, is a really straightforward question. Can you tell us, this is for Francesco, your cost of money today, X, the high-yield bond, please? My second question is, can you give us a little bit more color in terms of what your store opening program is in China? I'm a little confused if we're talking Solstice or the new concept or both, and give us a sense of how many stores you plan to open. And my third question is, can you explain, and this is for Mr. Tabacchi, can you explain the decision to sell your products, certain of your lines, I understand it's specifically Dior and Gucci, into Sunglass Hut in the U.S.? Was this your decision? Was this the licensor's decision? Can you explain the background to that, please? Thank you.
Yes, I will ask you before on the last question. You have to know that if there is a customer that can guarantee the level of service and the image required by our top brands, and Gucci is one of our top brands, we don't have any prejudice to lose any additional opportunities of sales. And I said to you, where we have sold the most part of our product in Luxottica store is in the not in Sunglass Island,
in the Ilori.
So the very high level luxury store they are building in this moment. So as soon as our customer can give to us all these things, so service to the customer and high level of brands and luxury image, economic terms, we will be happy to sell as much product as possible.
Well, Flavio, as far as your second question that was linked to the retail expansion in Far East, The plan, we have opened two stores in June in Hong Kong. The 1st of July, we have opened the first store in China, and the plan is to arrive with a total number between 8 to 10 stores in the area within the year end. As far as your first question that was linked to the total cost of the senior debt, actually is slightly below 5.5%.
Sorry, can I just on the stores again, what brand are you opening in China? Are you using the new one or using Solstice or using a combination of both?
We are using a combination of both, but anyway, mainly Idonis.
Yes, the concept of our retail is to maintain the name of Solstice in the just sunglass shops and to give the name of Idonis in ophthalmic and sunglass shop. So we are now all looking at opening the both, so sunglass plus ophthalmic. So the name of what we will open in China will be under the name of Idonis.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Luca Cipiccia of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Just to follow up on the license renewal, I was just curious to understand how much the current dynamics in the business are an element in the conversations that you may have with a Gucci, with a Dior, i.e. are those brands or your counterparts concerned about the health or the stability of the company itself, as much as, you know, maybe some of your shareholders seem to be? You know, how likely it is that there is a renewal and full confidence on an agreement, as long as, you know, the underlying seems to still been going through quite a few up and downs, let's put it that way.
The relationship between Safilo and those big licensors is very strict, so there is no point, no issues in the underline, and we are not. There is no any point about the situation, the economic situation at this point. So we are just working very hard on the negotiation that is from licensor and ourselves. So there is any link with any other different conditions.
But to put the question in a different way, for instance, the type of growth you've been referring to in Europe, do you think you're performing in line with other eyewear luxury brand in the same regions, or do you think if one has to look at it that way, that some of those brands are losing market share?
Yes, we are performing. In the same wave of all the other luxury eyewear company.
Yes, as far as I remember, you, Luca, that what is impacting mainly these luxury brands is also or mainly the lower average price. So in terms of volumes that it gives to the licensor and to us a better feedback about market shares and the consumers reached by these brands, we are not performing worse than other brands, or even if something even better.
Okay.
So in terms of underlying business, there isn't any concern by this licensor. And as Massimiliano was saying, there is not absolutely any issue during the discussion for the renewal from the normal business.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Davide Vimercati of UniCredit. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Most of my questions have been already asked. I have some follow-up questions, if I may. The first is going back to the balance sheet issue and on covenants. If my very rough calculations are correct, I sounds like it will be very close to the covenant at the end of the year. So my question is, what is going to happen if in case you breach the that covenant. You sounded very comfortable in your relationship with the banks, but what would be the realistic scenario if you breach the covenant? And also related to this point, how rigid is your dividend policy going forward in case your debt reaches, say, dangerous levels? The second question is on the distribution through Sunglass Hut. Can you give us an idea of, how much that contributed, if anything, to the Q2 positive performance in the U.S. wholesale channel? And finally, if I may, how exactly do you think the renewal of the Gucci license might allow you to improve your profitability if you're not going to touch royalties or advertising contributions? Is it a matter of enlarging the distribution, or what are the reasons why you expect to improve the profitability with the renewal? Thank you.
Well, starting from again from the covenant, actually the realistic scenario is not to breach the covenant at year end. Going also to the worst case scenario, even if we will meet the banks and we will discuss with them the situation, but based on the relation that we have to them, and I remember that we are in constant relationship with them, so there is not something that could surprise anybody. I expect that there would be a normal discussion understanding why we could have breached or much is linked to the particular situation at time. But really, it's too early now to discuss about this scenario. I will wait at least to release the third quarter results for eventually analyzing this worst scenario. As far as the dividend policy, it's obvious that the dividend policy for next year will take in consideration the total level of debt and the level of performance, both in terms of profitability and cash flow of the company, and will take in consideration also the investment that we will plan to do for the following year or coming years. So again, also for that is it's too early, and I assume, as happened this year, that the board of directors will take a first approach of view on this issue during budget time. Then as far as Sunglass Hut says, it's correct to say that, as Massimiliano was saying, that we have started to sell to them. Actually, and I expect also for the next future, the level of sales is absolutely meaningful in our total sales, both on consolidated and also on the U.S. market. Last question was, I don't remember the last one.
How do you expect to improve the profitability?
Yes, profitability on the renewal. Again, profitability is not coming only from a level of royalties or marketing commitment. It's linked also to the cost of product. I would say more from the cost of product than from the royalties. And we are working in the renewal with this big licensor, looking carefully which could be the cost of product in the future. And I expect that from this side we could recover.
Okay. Sorry, if I may, but do you think it is realistic to expect a renewal? Actually, we know there might be one or more competitors trying to get the license. So it is realistic for you to expect a renewal with even better conditions from your side?
Sorry, David, could you rephrase the...
Okay, sorry. What I was saying is I believe there might be other competitors trying to get the Gucci license. And, again, you certainly know what you're saying, but do you think it is realistic that you will renew the Gucci license, achieving even more favorable conditions?
Again, well, as Massimilian explained, we don't want to comment any possible other competitors that are trying to have these big licenses. We are in discussion with them. When we think to the profitability of a brand, is not only an issue of granting or asking lower royalties or marketing commitment, because this is not the base, the most important base of discussion. I've not said that we are promising or we are trying to have worse conditions for Gucci, but what we are trying to do is to have some more freedom in some other part of the license agreement that could permit us to improve profitability in the future.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Tabaki, there are no more questions registered at this time, sir.
Okay, we thank you very much for all the attention and your question, and we will talk again for the third quarter results in November. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.